Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Renault's award-winning hybrid and full electric lineup, where style meets tech. Rethink Renault.
This is News Talk.
Welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, Google's Fitbit is coming for Whoop. But who wins out in the battle of the wearables? We'll review the latest gaming titles, including a very exciting 007 First Light title. And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now. TechTalk@NewsTalk.com is the email address, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. I do hope you're well and that you've been enjoying the glorious sunshine over the last few days. Of course, the weather has turned in time for me to take on the VHI Women's Mini Marathon tomorrow in aid of Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, but you're looking to listen. Over the last few days, I have to say, I have found it almost impossible to do anything in the evenings other than sitting in the garden. And later on the show, I'll have some tech tips for gardeners that I have been using over the last while, as I have been staring lovingly at my lupins, which have made a comeback from last year. But before we get to my version of what I did on a week of summery weather, let's say hello to our dear friend, John Riley of TheEffect.net. John, how are you?
Good, Jess, and you?
I'm very well, thank you. We have so much to talk through over the next wee while. And as we always say, if people have any questions for you specifically, or if they want you to review a certain game, you can email us techtalk@newstalk.com. And we are going to talk about some games a little bit later on. But I'm very excited you're here, because I know we've both been testing out the new Google Fitbit Air, which I have seen plastered all over my Instagram as being the Whoop killer or the real Whoop rival. And I want to get your thoughts and feelings on the initial first period that you've had the device for.
Yeah, so it's about just coming up on 2 weeks that I've been kind of testing it out. And I've been using the Whoop before that for the last 6 or 7 months. I think you've been using it quite a bit longer than I, but yeah, look, I've always been eager to see how Google would enter this marketplace. And, you know, having the Fitbit brand is a very, very strong recognition for, in terms of the fitness enthusiasts. Was I have to hold my hands up and say I am not. But I've always been kind of intrigued by what Whoop was giving me for my sleep score and just my general kind of day-to-day activities. So the Fitbit Air definitely piqued my interest. Using it now for 2 weeks, I definitely can see where people are getting the Whoop killer terminology from, but there's still a lot to play for between the two of them.
Yeah, so let's just describe it from the outset, because not everybody, like, I've been wearing a Whoop for, I think it told me the other day, over 500 days. I'm a huge fan of Whoop. We've spoken about it on the program a lot. But the key thing with the Whoop is that it doesn't have a screen. It's not a smartwatch. It's a band that has a sensor built in, and you just wear it on your wrist and it's counting the data the entire time. Over the last few years, it's become more intelligent. It now has an AI coach built in, which I find really useful. It's not just collecting the information, it's telling you what to do with that information. And so the Google Fitbit Air, I have it on my right wrist at the moment. It's a similar enough concept in that it's a band of material with a much smaller sensor, it has to be said. It's very neat on the wrist, but again, there's no screen on it.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's maybe almost half the width of a band. I've kind of got the, I think they're calling it indigo, or there's kind of like a baby blue color version of the band. And now that's obviously quite a showy color, but it's still more discreet in terms of its overall footprint on my wrist than the Whoop was. Yeah, as you said, they're screenless fitness trackers, really. I think, you know, if you know a Whoop, you know what this is in a sense, and you know that it's kind of just hit the market. So I think Whoop kind of are scared, and the fact they've got that this Fitbit band is the power of Google behind it, they've got a bit of an uphill battle against. It's just good to have competition, really.
It is.
For Irish consumers, yeah.
Yeah, because for the longest time, like I think I spoke to you about it at the time, but I was wearing a smartwatch, and I used to love the functionality of a smartwatch. I used to love being able to check my WhatsApp and, you know, check emails and all that sort of stuff. But then I realized I was kind of getting stressed out about it because it was always on. It was always popping up left, right and center. And although you can turn that functionality off, it kind of defeated the purpose of having the smartwatch. So I love that it's just a fitness tracker. That's what I love about Whoop. It's what I'm intrigued about with the Google Fitbit Air as well. The design choice, as you said there correctly, it is so much smaller than the Whoop. It fits very comfortably on the wrist. I would say that it doesn't look like a premium product, but again, that is reflected in the cheaper price point, right?
Yeah, I guess this is the very first iteration. The bands are going to be coming just like Whoop has all the different variations. And I think the US might have a broader selection as we speak of options to pop what is basically a tiny little puck. When you do pop it out of the band, it is removable from the band that it's been sat within. So when you pop the puck out, you might be able to then swap it into other first-party Google ones or even third-party bands that'll hold it there in place. So there will be leather ones, I imagine, even metal bands, the like, to dress it up, for want of a better term. But yeah, right now it's quite sporty in its aesthetic and not too kind of premium as such. But I do like the finish. It's understated. I kind of just it does the job of holding it in place.
It does. It does. It's a functional thing, right? And as you say, there will be other straps coming down the line, I'm sure. So let's talk about the functionality, because we had to go through the process of getting access to a new version of the Google Health app. So it lives within the Google Health app. How did you find the unboxing and the initial setup?
Yeah, that's, again, very kind of painless and straightforward. It's kind of, as you said, the Google Health is Google's efforts to kind of bring everything underneath the same naming moniker. So the Fitbit app is no more. It is now a Google Health app, as you said. And look, that was pretty seamless in terms of the transition. And people were teed up enough in advance to say that this was happening. There is then, somewhat more confusingly, there is the Google Fit app, which is kind of what was their own standalone health-focused app on Android devices and even Android Wear watches and the like. That's being kind of consumed into what is now will be the Google Health apps. It'll all become the one. I'm not like, obviously this device is called Fitbit Air and we've got Google Health app. There's still a tiny bit of a conflict there. I don't know when the Fitbit brand will be no more if they've kind of removed the app branding, but here we are. Look, it came out of the box nice and easy. The one thing I'm not massively mad about is that we do have a new proprietary charger. So this thing can only be charged with the charger that comes in the box. There's no wireless charging as such. And I would have hoped if people were Pixel Watch owners, given this under the Google family, that you could have potentially popped this onto the Google Pixel Watch charger because you'd have that in your bag potentially. But no, this is a brand new charger all on its own that you obviously have to have with you when you do need to top this thing up. So that's one little caveat or one little issue I had from the kind of the unboxing setup. And you do need to pop it onto the charger to kind of get it started. So that's also something to be aware of, that you can't just do it out and about. You need to be able to plug this in somewhere to kind of bring it to life and kind of pair it to your device.
Yeah, like it's funny, the wireless charging capability which Whoop does have, so you get this little pack that you sit onto the device itself, then you can charge the wireless charger so you can have it topped up and then you can wear it out and about. But what I found and what happened to me this week was I lost the flipping pack. Oh. So I've broken my 500 and something day streak, and a shout out to Jer Gilroy who has heroically brought his charger in for me to top up my my Whoop whilst I wait. But I actually like the notion of having a set non-wireless charger for this, because it's another thing to lose. And as you say, because it is a specific charger for the specific device, if you don't have your charger, if you lose it or if you misplace it or whatever it is, you're absolutely goosed. So that is a point of frustration, and it's a curious design choice by Google, I would say.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, we've seen the USB-C being somewhat forced on every brand, and it kind of suits the consumers, that I think there could be a day that we see similar kind of charging capabilities for devices like this, that yes, it's a USB cable as such, but the fact it's not a USB port on the device, or it's not wireless charging compatible with kind of multiple, you know, the more general Qi wireless charging pads that everyone seems to have nowadays, that functionality I hope kind of trickles into future generations, that we can just pop this little puck onto any charging wireless charging pad to give it a top up, rather than going, oh no, I've left it. Because, you know, you say you've lost the puck, but the cable is just as easy to lose, because it is what it is. It's just a little USB cable with a specific end charging port at the end of it that charges the device. But that's a first world problem that we're having here. But yeah, just something to be aware of.
Yeah, it is something to be aware of. So let's talk about then the functionality of it, because the key selling point of the Whoop, or indeed the Google Fitbit Air, is not the look and the feel of it and all the rest. It's the functionality. It's what it tells you. It's what it does. So when I set up my app, you put in sort of basic information. You put in whether it's a fitness goal or a health goal or a sleep goal, whatever it may be. And from there, then you're brought into this fairly busy interface, in my opinion. What was your experience, and talk us through some of the key functionality of the device itself?
Yeah, I think, as you said, the setup process, I did actually like, given that it was almost conversational from the get-go. So there wasn't loads of kind of information you had to type in. You're already having a conversation with Google's AI, kind of Google's health coach, powered by probably Gemini and their AI platform. But I think anyone that picks up this device will get 3 months, if I'm correct, of the Google Health Premium plan, which is kind of a tenner a month, but you'll get 3 months free. And then that kind of, as you said, lets you kind of set out the stalls of what you want to achieve with this. Do you want better sleep? Do you want a three-hour marathon or whatever madness you want to be carrying out? Me, a lot more reserved. I just said I want to sleep through the night, which sounds like a small, but that's with a 10-month-old daughter as well. But that's my own grievances. I thought it was pretty painless. As you said, it sits you into a kind of an early version of what Google are trying to achieve with their health app. There is probably room for improvement. And I know you commented on your Instagram story that you're not really blown away by its kind of functionality, its layout, and the way they kind of displays the information to you. But I know Google have just come out in the last couple of days saying that they are going to tidy things up. They're going to use visuals a lot more in terms of that kind of Google coaching section that kind of breaks down, look, you did this last night, we recommend this today. It's quite text heavy. I think they're going to refine that, so I'm looking forward to seeing how this develops. And as I said, we're very early into the process and they're already kind of focused on refining it, which is good to see.
Yeah, and I suppose like it's kind of unfair to give such early impressions, but that's our job, right? So we are kind of just talking about our first impressions. And there's a few things that I noticed. And because I was doing the side-by-side comparison with the Whoop and having worn the Whoop so long, I was able to do that pretty much instantly. And a few things struck me, right? So on the second day I wore it, it recommended that I do a mindfulness session to wind down, so a breath work session. So they said, do you want to do this now? I said, yes. So for 5 minutes, and then I said, yes. Then they said, okay, great. Let me know when you want to stop. I said, stop. And then it said, okay, how many minutes did you do the session for? We don't have the capability for this yet. So it was prompting actions that it couldn't actually measure. And it also couldn't give you the either strain or recovery score, which Whoop does for that activity. Yeah. Another thing then on, was it Saturday, I want to say, of last week, I went out for a waddle. And I had the Google Fit app on the go to track the activity. I obviously had the Fitbit Air on my right wrist and the Whoop on my left wrist. And the Google Fit and the Whoop were giving me the same step count. But the Google Fitbit Air was 3,000 steps under, which I thought was quite interesting. And when I went in and did a bit of digging as to why that is, what Google, like I asked the AI coach within the health app why that would be. It was very interesting. They were saying if you wear it on your dominant hand, which I was doing, it can actually give you an overestimate of your steps. So it might take, if you're blow drying your hair, if you're washing the counters or something like that, it might count that as steps. But it wouldn't tell me why it was underreporting. And I know, again, you've said it, this is first world problems, but again, it's our job. That to me is concerning. If I'm doing this, like as I said earlier in the show, I'm doing the mini marathon over the coming days, and like the accuracy and the details and the data, that's the whole point of me having this on my paw.
Yeah, I guess, unfortunately, that's quite a mishap to kind of see such a significant mistrack and a kind of a non-explanation. I've seen a couple of YouTube videos kind of comparing a lot of the other brands, even the Aura rings and the fitness rings we've seen from the likes of Samsung as well. So, and I think it was kind of telling what he said, that these are just guidance devices, or they're kind of like they're hobbyist devices, for want of a better term. No matter how serious you want to kind of take the stats, they are what they are. They're not going to be medical grade as such. So, and then again, there's always going to be discrepancies. And if the band isn't sitting correctly on your wrist, it's going to it's going to misfire. But that's interesting in terms of the under tracking of your steps. Do you think that would be something they'd have completely nailed down as one of the most basic features that any kind of tracker like this can handle? So again, hopefully it was a wobble at the start and it's going to kind of refine itself. And they always say with these devices that it takes almost up to a month for them to settle in and understand your habits, your routines, and how you like to work out and what you like to do to stay fit. So I'm kind of we're obviously both still in that process, early days with these devices, and I really do hope they kind of refine themselves much more as the weeks go on.
Yeah, and I think they will. And I guess as I said at the outset, it's kind of unfair for us to give too much opinion, because you're completely right. It takes a while for them to get to know your body, your movement and all the rest. One thing I would say the Fitbit Air does better than the Whoop, in my opinion, is the auto exercise detection. So you don't have to go in and select the activity. I think that is really good. The other part that I really like about this as well is you can get, it can help you build like a workout schedule, and that's not going to the gym. It's if you have weights at home, or even if it's going for a little run around the block. Also, the nutrition and the logging of your water and your intake and all the rest, it is very, it's simple to do. And I think that's where the benefit of this being a Fitbit product all under the Google umbrella is a really good thing, because the Fitbit app was actually pretty great.
Yeah. And again, they were kind of trialing this new layout, this new display formatting in the last number of weeks before this all became official. So again, they've got years under their belt. They're obviously one of the first one of the longest in the market when it comes to the fitness tracking. The name is synonymous. So Google knew what they were doing when they were purchasing the company way back when. So yeah, it all seems to be going towards where people needed to go: the refinement, the usability, the functionality, and the AI implementation is all kind of going to make it that bit more frictionless and easy, and just kind of more conversational, as if you genuinely have a personal coach you can chat to with your voice going, actually, do you know what? I put my knee out yesterday. I want to take a bit of a break on the running tomorrow. Can we work on something else that doesn't impact, that I don't need to, run as much? All that kind of stuff is really kind of clever and how AI has been implemented. So, yeah.
Yeah, and there's no question that there's going to be more of these types of devices coming out from all kinds of brands over the next few while. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see something from Samsung and so on over the next little bit. But it's funny, I was talking to one of the girls in the office who has a Whoop, and she wears it for activity tracking and sort of that motivation. And she said it's probably more sophisticated than what she needs. But she sounds like the ideal person then for the Google Fitbit Air, because it's not like the Whoop would always say that they're kind of aimed at the more athletic type people, the more people like that's why they've got, Cristiano Ronaldo and Rory McIlroy and all the rest as their ambassadors. The Fitbit Air seems to have identified the next level below that, which is people who do want to get off their tush. They don't want a smartwatch. They want something that can give them insights for their day-to-day wellness and overall well-being.
Yeah, and I think that's, the what are they, pro hobbyists or whatever, but even just general consumers that just want that little bit of extra insight, that extra bit of support. And I think the pricing, kind of going back to your comment at the start about Whoop Killer, is kind of that's kind of where Google are coming in, I want to say, like, aggressively, because this device is €99 upfront. You log on, or you go into a shop, you pay €99, it's handed to you, and you do not need to pay any subscription. You do get the entry-level tracking systems. You get the tracking of your steps, your sleep tracking, and a couple of other things. But they do offer then the Google Health Premium subscription, which is just $9.99 a month, which gives you access to all of those kind of interactive features we were speaking about, where you talk to the coach, you kind of track your meals, your sleeps, the whole shebang. It comes back with guidance, it comes back with recommendations, and that then is part of that $9.99 subscription. Whereas obviously, as you said, the Whoop is more premium in terms of the offering it gives and the people it's targeting. So that is a yearly subscription of €200 starting, and that's ongoing. If you want to use a Whoop, you need to pay that subscription at least to keep the device functional. So that's kind of where people are like, they get the bit of an ick at something that is forever needing a subscription and can never work without kind of paying the company some money. So there is a bit of a dirty taste in people's mouth from something like that. So that's where people are going, looking with Google with open eyes with the new Fitbit Air.
For sure. And I think unless you're getting the value from the Whoop, it's not valuable to you. It's like having a gym membership. You know, that way, if you're paying for a gym membership and you go every day, then sure, it costs you nothing by the end of the month. Whereas if you go once, that one trip has probably cost you, whatever, 70 quid a month. So that just doesn't make sense. So it's the cost per use and it's the insight and the benefit you get from it. So I definitely think Google have been smart in terms of their placement of this. And as you said, the pricing and the option. You know, say if you are doing the mini marathon next year and you wanted for the 6 weeks of training to pay the tenner for that period to get the insights, that makes sense. And it's giving people that flexibility. So, yeah, look, I think it's early doors yet, but it definitely is an interesting, intriguing device. It's great to see the competition in the market. And I'm sure we'll have another chat about it next time you're on, about sort of a month in or 6 weeks in. But I know that your full review is going to be up on theeffect.net shortly. So you can make sure to head on over there and have a read of that. We're going to take a quick break, but John is going to stay with me. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some new earbuds and a very exciting game review. Don't go anywhere.